talking about workers and the construction industry, and you and I was going to say you guys. That's not really a good way of putting it, but the construction industry has a hard time finding workers, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And the short answer for why we have trouble finding workers is mamas don't want their babies to grow up to be construction workers. But the broader answer is because we as a nation decided about four decades ago that like the only path to success in life was to tell all of our children to go to college, get a 4-year degree, and work in some kind of cube, you know, fluorescent lit cube farm. And there's a lot of people that have done well through college, but in doing that, we've kind of lost and in fact dropped how much we as a nation invest in what they call today career and technical education. What I knew is vocational education when I was in school. So the actual amount of dollars the federal government spends on career and technical education is dwarfed by how much they spend encouraging every high school student to go to college, get a 4-year degree, and work in something other than construction. So we have we don't have a lot of domestic supply, for lack of a better phrase. A lot of kids, young adults coming out of schools in the United States who are pursuing careers in construction. And then the other reason we've got a shortage is that we don't allow many people to come into the United States and lawfully work in construction. We have very limited access to one of the visa programs called H-2B visa program. About 6,000 to 12,000 people a year qualify for that visa who work in construction. And then there are a couple other programs like temporary protected status, which is shrinking by the month, and the Dreamers program, where some people can lawfully come into the country and work in construction. But by and large, we have a workforce policy in the United States, which is we don't want our children to work in construction. We don't want people to lawfully come into the country to work in construction, but we want build a lot of things. So we shouldn't be surprised as a result that there are some number of undocumented workers working in construction throughout our country.
Mm-hmm. What can be done about this? And I'm supposing, I am assuming here, and I know I shouldn't do that, that the current administration is not helping things any.
That's a safe assumption. And really, you know, it's less on the deportations, which don't seem to have had an impact on people working in construction. They do seem to be focused on targeting, you know, undocumented workers who are engaged in criminal activity or national security threats or have been ordered by a judge to leave. But where they're having an impact is they've already begun to cancel work authorizations through a program called Temporary Protected Status, which provides work authorizations for people from countries that are too dangerous to return to. But that within the last couple of weeks, they've canceled that status for people from Venezuela and for people from Haiti. And we suspect that they're likely to do the same for people from El Salvador, Honduras, and other countries. And in fact, it was in the news that they might even cancel work authorizations for people in that program from Ukraine. So those are shrinking the supply. But I interrupted your question. I'm sorry.
No. You were doing fine here. But I was just going to ask what the administration, which is essentially what you asked. But you know, we have this stigma, as you mentioned, moms don't want their sons to be construction workers. But we need people to fix things and to build things. And so, how do you change that stigma?
Yeah, you know, we're big believers in that the money drives or impacts the stigma, right? So if the federal government started making more significant investments in career and technical education programs and construction education and construction training programs, that would signal the school officials, that would signal the parents and other caregivers that, maybe this isn't a job of last resort, but it's actually a career path that my loved one should explore. I mean, if you look at the economics of working in construction, I mean, the new federal figures out today, construction pays more than $36 an hour on average in the United States, which is about 18% more than the average job in this country. And unlike many other career paths, most of the positions you can get in construction don't require you to go to a 4-year college degree and accumulate all the debt that comes with it, right? So the way I put it is, if you drive by a construction parking lot and you see all those pickup trucks in the lot, they're by and large paid for because the economics are so good. So federal funding should drive away that cultural stigma that says, I don't want you to go to construction. Heck no, you're going to go to college. And I think, frankly, we're benefiting from this kind of growing debate we're having in the country about, is college worth it? Does it make sense to saddle all these 18, 19, 20-year-olds with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt so they can get a four-year college degree and end up earning no more than if they had pursued a career path like construction? So that's solution number one, is we need to reinvigorate that sort of domestic pipeline and drive away that stigma. And then, you know, that's going to take a couple of years to fix, right? Like, even if Congress passed all the money we needed for construction education and training tomorrow, which they're not going to do, but even if they did, it would take a couple of years before all those investments would have an impact on the supply of labor and get more people into these career paths. So we need to put in place some kind of a temporary work visa program dedicated to construction that would allow more people to lawfully come into this country. We would know who they are. We would know that they have good backgrounds. We'd be able to tax them. We'd be able to track them. And then, you know, once we got that domestic supply reinvigorated, they would have the choice to either stay and be citizen, become citizens, or leave and go back to their country and sort of prosper there with the skills they've accumulated. So we need kind of a two-point approach. We need to rebuild that domestic pipeline for getting young men and young women into construction while we put in place some temporary trackable measures to kind of responsibly get people into this country to work in construction.
Brian, I'm sure you've talked to congressmen, senators, government officials about this. What do they say when you give them this idea and explain the situation?
You know, it really depends on how you frame the conversation when you're talking to senators or members of Congress. When you talk to them about why you need more workers and the connection between that and the workforce and economic development. In other words, hey, we know that you are working hard to attract this factory to your district. But if we don't have the people to build that factory, you're not going to be able to attract that factory. Or, hey, we know you're pushing real hard for new funding to connect your town to a four-lane highway. But if you don't have the people to build it, you can't do that. Then they get it, and they want to make those investments in career and technical education, and they understand the wisdom of a temporary visa program. But if you come in and you have a conversation about how we need to reform our immigration system and we need to, then people, for whatever reason, have begun to have a visceral reaction to the word immigration and immigration reform. Because I think it's been mixed up with images of people staying for free in hotels or, no AK-47s in apartment complexes in Aurora, which is ironic because most of us come from immigrants, right? Like we're kind of a nation of immigrants by and large. But for whatever reason, immigration has become a dirty phrase. So it really depends on how we frame the conversation. But when you talk to people about the connection between having enough workers to build the things that will make our communities prosperous, they get it and they're on board.
So it's really a matter of how you frame the conversation, how you the phrases you use to explain it that works.
You have to strip. Yeah, I mean, you have to realize that immigration has become an emotional conversation, right? All of us have been at that Thanksgiving dinner table or that summer vacation with some relative who may or may not have had two glasses of wine who starts spouting off on immigration. Like, people are just angry about that issue. For whatever reason, right or wrong, they're angry people about that issue. If we can strip that emotion out and have a rational conversation about how we help our communities grow and thrive and the workers we need to get there, then I think it's a better conversation to have.
There you go. How bad is the situation with workers across the country? Are there certain regions of the country that have more problems with finding construction workers than others?
You know, that's a great question. It used to be that there was sort of a bit of a migratory industry, right? So that if the market was soft in one part of the country, a bunch of construction workers would kind of pack up their tools and go to a different part of the country. But workforce shortages are pretty widespread, pretty consistently around the country, right? So the differences we track, you know, like the, you know, like maybe 77% of contractors in the Northeast are having a hard time finding workers, while 84% of contractors are having a hard time finding, you know, workers in the Southwest are pretty minimal, right? And not very statistically significant. So the shorter answer to your question is no. Workforce shortages, at least in the construction industry, are pretty widespread. And if you talk to 10 contractors, you'll have 13 conversations about how they can't find enough workers.
Okay. Anything we haven't mentioned that we need to get out to
Well,
people? It's like
just
I know we're going to be yes, go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, I people don't we don't want people to necessarily take just my word on this. We've got lots of information about these workforce issues, the connection to economic development, and even if you want to chime in with your elected officials how to do that on a website we created. It's called workforcedoneright.org. Again, workforcedoneright.org. And if people want to go and visit it, learn a little bit more, and maybe be heard on this issue, we'd welcome them.
There we go. WorkforceDoneRight.org. And I know we're going to be talking again down the road here a little bit. So we'll just kind of end it right here and pick it up in a couple of weeks. Brian, I thank you for a few minutes out. Best to you in Arlington and DC, and thanks for stopping by here for a few minutes.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the weekend.
Take care.